Good morning, everyone.
If you have your Bibles with you, I would invite you to turn as I read to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. I'm reading from the ESV version. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to hear your voice today and every day, to ignore our own voices. Please help us to hear what is your voice and intent and what is not, and help me to remain silent when I should. Amen. I just have to jokingly say, Brandon, have you got the coffee on already? I am not known for giving the longest sermons, and this is not the longest one I've ever preached. Thorns in the plant world, believe it or not, do have a useful purpose. It may not seem like it, but they do. For the plants which grow thorns, such as roses, blackberry vines, raspberries, etc., it's a defense mechanism. Just bear that in mind. The thorns are meant to protect the plant from predators which would eat it. Now, there are some animals which can get around that, but I can't help but think those thorns would still hurt on time to time, on occasion. The giraffe is a perfect example of one of those critters which can do just that. They will eat the leaves off of the acacia, so their tongues have a protection of sorts. However, the rest of us do not have that joy. Have you ever got a thorn stuck under your skin? It's one of the most unpleasant sensations, especially if it gets stuck good and deep in the tip of a finger or on the bottom of a foot, areas which are constantly in use and very sensitive. If it's deep enough, sometimes it's an incredible struggle to get rid of it, especially on the bottom of the foot. The term thorn in the flesh has come to speak of most problems which plague us and just will not go away no matter how hard we try. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, as he described in 2 Corinthians 12. What exactly it was, we have no idea, though it was described as a messenger of Satan. Though some have speculated it may have been continuing problems with his eyesight. Regardless of what it was, whether his eyes or his stomach, we know that it troubled him greatly. He pleaded with the Lord to remove whatever the thorn was, but the Lord's answers were something which we as humans find troubling. "No, Paul, you get to keep this thorn. Trust me first and foremost and learn to live with it." Our first response as humans, especially modern ones, is, "That's just not fair. Why would God, shouldn't God remove it as asked?" But that's not how God sees things. His response to Paul came for a good reason. As Paul put it, it was left there in order for him to come to rely on God more and himself much less. Not to get puffed up, and to be happy where he was. As Paul said, he had in his nature this tendency to get just a little bit arrogant about his abilities which were in fact not his, but were actually God working in the situation or circumstances, not Paul. Paul was just the mouthpiece for the Lord, the hands and feet which carried the message. Can we on occasion be like Paul? A tendency towards getting puffed up? You don't have to answer me on that one. I'll answer for myself, though. Yes, yes, and yes. If something goes supremely right, I can start to feel really, really good about it. What happens next is that someone compliments me on how well I'm doing or how quickly I solve the problem at work. And when I get compliments, I usually start to worry at that point, waiting for the 10-ton anvil to drop out of the sky. But when it really gets scary at work is when I have been called a god for my abilities. And yes, it has happened. At that point, I get supremely frightened, and so I should. My response isn't actually to tear my shirt up, but I do the best thing under the circumstances. I very quickly respond with, no, not me. I'm just a dumb technician who got it right this time. Because on occasion, I don't get it right. I then promptly go back to my office and poke my gut to make sure that nothing like what happened to Herod Antipas, you know, the Roman installed king eaten by worms for his pride, is happening to me. Hopefully, I have made sure I have, figuratively speaking, rent my clothes at that point. Interestingly enough, I do have stomach troubles which won't go away. Is that my thorn in the flesh? I certainly would appreciate the Lord to make it better, but I still have those issues, in spite of all the praying I do for it to go away. And it's not a matter of lack of faith, it's my thorn in the flesh. Something there to humble me quite a bit, and yes, like Paul, I do deeply need that thorn. I would much rather be kept humble before falling flat on my face with pride. How about you? Anyone here a gardener? I'm sure there must be somebody. Have you ever stuck your hand into a cluster of weeds to pull them out, only to find that mixed in with the weeds is a stinging nettle? I know I have. Sometimes, even through my gloves, I have felt that sensation, the burn. Yet another plant with a self-defense mechanism. Now, I'm not exactly sure the purpose of the stinging nettle, if it indeed has any, other than to scorch the skin when grabbed by accident. I also gather that tea can be made out of, though I don't actually call that tea, being English and Scottish heritage. But it certainly is a defense mechanism. But did you know that there's a natural balm which almost always grows in the same areas as the stinging nettle? It's called burdock. The English simply refer to it as bok. Pull one, crush a leaf, and rub it on the sting. It works. Where am I going with this? Do you know there's also a natural balm for the thorns in our flesh? The stinging nettles we have grabbed? It's called prayer. Also, there is praise. Jesus prayed when his heart was troubled. Sometimes he would pray all night long. I have trouble praying for 10 minutes sometimes. Yes, he had a heavy heart at times. It was another way of showing that as a man, he shared in our humanity. In Luke 22:44, it says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Can you imagine praying that hard? Jesus, of course, being God in human form, had this relationship with the Father which gave him rejuvenation, gave him rest. He could pray and carry on. We do not have that close a walk, but we can pray to the Father and he will give us rest. Jesus himself promised us in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." As for music, Solomon told us in Proverbs 17:22 that a joyful heart is good medicine but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. I see a lot of people in the world today with crushed spirits. Interestingly, coming from a man who had it all, but would eventually see it all as vanity of vanities. In the depths of our sorrow and pain, there is a balm available. It may not make the pain go away. It may not make the sickness go away. But it can make us content in all things, just as Paul was. Philippians 4, 12 to 13. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul knew pain, suffering, and exhaustion. Perhaps, maybe, the thorn in his flesh could have come from some of the beatings and stonings that he suffered. Walking away from them had to have left a few marks physically. Follow me along in this next section. It may not make much sense at first. Revelation 2:2-4. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But this I have against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. I hate writing prickly sermons, no pun intended. Well, okay, maybe just a little. I don't know about others who preach prickly sermons. The body in Ephesus had gone off the rails just a little bit. They were drifting away from the Lord who had bought them. They were heading for the ditch at the side of the tracks, and the stop wouldn't be at all pleasant. But the Lord had a major compliment for them. They hated the works of the Nicolaitans. Now, it's not known for sure who this group was, but whoever they were, they, like the Gnostics, were not popular because of their practices. So the Lord said, basically, get back on the tracks, return to your first love, and all will be okay. Where am I going with this? Does the Lord sometimes allow us a thorn in the flesh because we may have gone off the rails? Either we are sitting still, or maybe we're heading in the wrong direction, towards a ditch, maybe. It's good to ask ourselves this question from time to time. Perhaps it is time for each of us to check in with the Lord and see if that is what he is telling us. Not just here, but the entire body of believers as a whole. We have a sick world out there. It needs to know a risen Savior. And like Paul, we are the Lord's mouthpiece, the hands and feet which carry the message. If we've gone off the tracks, the message won't go anywhere. Let's take Paul's thorn into one more application. What happens to us when we do get puffed up and boastful? I once worked for an employer who routinely went to church, was involved in the leadership of our church, yeah, we attended the same fellowship, was involved in leadership of our church and in community groups and activities. He was not a bad businessman nor person per se, but he had some practices with his employees which didn't quite jive with the words he spoke. I won't go into details, but the important part is this. His witness to his unsaved employees. In the last year I worked for him, he hired a young man to work with me who was, I believe, genuinely seeking. He would have meals with us at our apartment and ask questions which Penny and I would endeavor to answer as best we could. This young man started to occasionally attend the same church as Penny and I and our bosses. He asked me one day, The boss says he is a Christian, and yet I see behavior which doesn't match up with what we have been talking about or what I have read in the Bible. Why? Try and answer that one correctly. It isn't easy with a young man raised in our world of 20 years ago. Think of what it would be like today. I know I was a bit of a thorn in the boss's side. Not that I tried to be, just that I tried to have as much integrity as I could, because I was being watched very closely by that employee who worked with me not 10 feet from me. The boss's response to thorns was not pretty to watch or being on the receiving end of. I was. A year after I left that business, the young man left also, quite discouraged, disheartened, and even a little bit angry. More closely to home, what happens when I get puffed up? I know for me, the Lord pulls out a great big fat pin and deflates my ego quickly. But why use thorns? Of course, the term thorn is not literal. It is descriptive. It is a metaphor. What does Isaiah say about the reasons the Lord does just about anything? In Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." We may not know for sure now, but how about this? Because he chooses the one thing which will most effectively catch our attention. The one thing we cannot ignore. Our thorn in the flesh. Each and every one of us has something. Another thing about thorns and stinging nettles, they do look after themselves well. Whether that nettle is a thorn, is a person, a thing, or our health, all are difficult to deal with and it cannot be easily ignored. So how are we going to deal with the thorns in our lives? Do we turn away from the reasons for them or be thankful for the spiritual health checkup God gives us? Maybe we should drop to our knees and thank him for the thorn. Here is a passage from Psalm 33:20-22 as a part of that answer. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us even as we hope in you. There's one other thing that I wish to mention about thorns, what they have had a use for in the past. They once made up a crown upon the head of him who was sent to help us deal with our thorns. It was twisted together by Roman soldiers, the most brutal of occupiers, and it would have hurt very, very badly. But Jesus took it upon himself willingly so that we who deserved that punishment he took upon the cross wouldn't have to. He didn't need a thorn to remind him of absolutely anything at all. He was well aware of our frailties. But the thorns he took were visible to us in order to remind us of his royalty and the great price he paid. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for thorns, stinging nettles, and the reminder which they provide of our human nature. May we always know the reason for their existence. Amen. Has the Lord allowed a thorn in your flesh? Maybe it's time to listen to the message. By no means are we to celebrate that thorn, but listen to it. God is trying to say something.